W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Several tornadoes were reported touching down near Chicago last night. WBBM-TV reporter Charlie DeMar is in Elgin, Illinois.
Trees were uprooted throughout this neighborhood in Elgin and tossed with ease on top of homes and cars, just really creating a mess for people out here. Neighbors we heard from say they heard the tornado sirens, and within seconds, it was gone.
In came that loud, rushing noise like a train. And we grabbed the dogs and the kids and ran into the basement. And then it was gone literally 15 seconds later.
More than 100 million people across the U.S. are baking in the super hot temps. Maybe taking a swim will help cool you off? Nope, says CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
In Florida's Virginia Key, a dip in the water didn't do the trick.
It's very hot, almost like it was a jacuzzi, to be honest.
At Long Beach in New York, the sand is scalding too.
It gets up to like 92 degrees sometimes outside. My legs burn. I have to throw a towel down on the floor and step on it.
While the clock has just run out, we are still waiting to hear if Hollywood actors will join writers on the picket line. They've been trying to work out a new contract with Hollywood studios and production companies. Entertainment attorney Jonathan Handel told KCBS-TV, this seems to be a new trend.
You see the hotel workers having gone out on strike. The dock workers almost went out on strike. The UPS workers are threatening to go out on strike. The Amazon warehouse workers and Starbucks workers are unionizing. There's a resurgence in labor, and it's a reaction to the growth of big tech, the concentration of wealth within big tech in particular.
Now, if Hollywood actors do strike, that means no new movies and your favorite TV shows will all be repeats. Auto workers could head to the picket lines. Contract talks are about to begin with the big Detroit manufacturers. WWJ-TV reporter Gina Vici on what's at stake here.
There is a growing fear these talks could lead to a strike. In fact, UAW leadership told its members to be ready for a strike. Meanwhile, the automakers have signaled that big changes are needed to adapt to the EV market, which, yes, could lose jobs, but also create many new jobs.
Friday is officially here.
Ding, fries again. Ding, fries again. Ding,
National
fries again.
French Fry Day, but you actually can get the salty deals for 2 days. For years, National French Fry Day was always observed on July 13th, but last year, some fast food chains petitioned online to get the day moved to the second Friday in July so it would always fall on a Friday. The National Day calendar people decided to change it, but there are several fast food joints which still celebrate today. That means 2 days of French fry deals, which is really a win-win. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that for Breeze Car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. Yeah. La, 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 la. With up to 40 days of consistent scent, all over Breeze Car clips right on your vent. Yeah. You know my car's my happy place. Keep a smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right, just right. Yeah. Breathe happy for Breeze. La, 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 la.
School!
Sounds like it's back to school time, and Staples has great prices on everything you need for school. Save on markers and crayons. Save on notebooks and folders. And right now at Staples, save big on tech with up to $250 off select computers. Staples, where savings for school are always in session. N729, in-store only. See associate for details.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 56 overnight under cloudy skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 81, tomorrow cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 60, tomorrow night chance for scattered storms. Mid-80s, Friday and Saturday with storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 59.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We've got Greg Bach on the board today, and I'm very excited for our guest at 11:30. You actually booked this guest.
Heck yeah, I did.
You know that today is actually considered the slowest day of sports all year long.
Why is that?
I don't know, but so it's the day after the MLB All-Star game, and basically none of the big four North American leagues have any competitive games. There's no NBA, there's no NFL, there's no MLB, no NHL. There is Wimbledon.
Yeah, that was gonna say.
I saw you ooh, itching to get that out.
But issue.
In general, this is considered a slow sports day, but we're still gonna talk about sports because Milwaukee Pro Soccer is coming.
Yes, it is.
So we have Colin Kaloya, said that right? Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer for Milwaukee Pro Soccer. He'll be here at 11:30 to talk about what it takes to create a team from scratch, basically, because that is what's happening in Milwaukee. They're finding a name, they're building a stadium, and so we're very excited about it.
I've definitely voted many times for the names.
Do you have are you going to tell him what your favorite name is?
Absolutely, I'm going
absolutely
to. Tune in at 11:33 for more information.
But also, if you have questions for him, for Colin, as far as what the team Connor, sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here for you.
For Connor, 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text or give us a call during the segment to talk about pro soccer coming to Milwaukee. But for right now, I want to talk about this Jonah Hill thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I debated whether or not to even bring this up on the show for multiple reasons. One, I feel like we don't typically get into like celebrity gossip BS on this show because mostly I don't really care. You know, like as the tit for tat zeitgeist of like pop culture stuff that is very online, I don't always, find it that interesting. But also, I think sometimes the audience that is listening to us live versus podcasts versus people who are very habitually online on TikToks and Twitters and such, not always having the best feel of like, what is the crossover there? So like, is anyone else going to find this interesting? But I'll give some background on it. But this is bubbled up because I feel like I personally have experienced the other side of this. So I care less about, like, there's a lot of dirty laundry that you can debate whether or not this is any of the public's business that we should be talking about. It's kind of like what happened, you know, when the world started, everyone had an opinion about the slap heard around the world with Will Smith and Chris Rock. Sometimes things happen in celebrity culture that create a bigger conversation. Let's put it that way. And it's not so much about the nuances of this specific case, because I don't really give a crap about Jonah Hill, but more of like a bigger conversation around what does this mean about like relationship dynamics. But let me go back and actually try to explain what happened for anyone who like is like, who's Jonah Hill?
Wow.
Do you think, is he famous enough that, like, do you think there's people out there right now who are like listening to the show and like, who, I don't know who Jonah Hill is?
I think that Jonah Hill has been in enough movies, TVs, animated, that kind of thing where you've heard the name. You might not be able to put a face to it, but I feel like everyone's heard the name Jonah
Or if
Hill.
You've seen his face, you know him.
Yeah.
So he is, like, is he a household name? He's pretty, I think he's pretty close to a household
name. I'd say he's a household
Moneyball,
name.
Moneyball, Don't Look Up. I mean, he's been in a bunch of the...
I'll text my mom and say, hey, mom, do you know who Jonah Hill is?
Mama Bach.
Yeah, hold on.
Debbie Bry, if you're listening right now, do you know who Jonah Hill is?
Hi, Debbie Bry.
It's a good litmus test. All right, so Jonah Hill's an actor, been around for a long time. Comedian, he's been nominated for Oscar. I mean, I think he was nominated for an Oscar for Moneyball and for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Successful actor. And over the weekend, his ex, who he was like 15 years older than, so there was already like a pretty big age gap, but she's a professional surfer and model. Her name's Sarah Brady, and she posted a series of text exchanges between her and her now ex for over a year. They've been broken up for a while, Jonah Hill. And in the slew of texts, they basically show that Hill is demanding of her to remove Instagram photos of herself in swimsuits, turn down modeling jobs, avoid casual and professional contact with male surfers, and forego friendships with women he deems unstable. And basically invoking their couple's therapist to convey the weight of his demands. So this was one of the quotes. Quote, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men, to model, to post photos of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places, and from your wild recent past beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, I'm not the right partner for you, reads one of the texts. These are my boundaries for a romantic relationship or romantic partnership. And there's a lot more than where that comes from. And so you can debate whether or not she should have posted these. And in her defense, I guess, I've seen since she now, because he's obviously the more famous of the two, in her life since them breaking up, like, he constantly is brought up to her.
Yeah.
Like, people are constantly talking about him and bringing him up because they dated and it was public. And she kind of got to the point where, like, she couldn't be okay without having the truth out there, because ultimately he was always going to be part of her past and she was going to be attached to him indefinitely. And she's also young. She's still only like in her early 20s. But so the conversation around this has been like using language like boundaries and this is my standards and you can take it or leave it. And like using like therapy speak to then be still controlling in a relationship and trying to control your partner's behavior. And, you know, and then there's some people like, I think this is totally, there's like, everyone has an opinion about basically sex, like either saying that he's totally fine. And, you know, if this is what the standards are, if you can't be on the same page, then you shouldn't be together at all, which is true. But also, like, I think the thing that resonates for me is, he knew she was a surfer when they started dating.
Yeah.
He knew she was a model when they started dating. And I think it comes to sometimes, and I don't necessarily want to make this about a men versus women thing and men do this to women, because I think that there's plenty of women who start dating men thinking that they'll change. And obviously that doesn't even broach the topic of same-sex relationships and how that works. But I think there is sometimes the things that attract us most to a person then becomes the things that we want to diminish and control once we are actually in a relationship with that person. because we know what we were attracted to is what other people are attracted to, and our insecurity pops up to make that less so that we can protect it and keep it as ours. And I have certainly been on the receiving end of that, of being a charismatic, loud, opinionated, you know, this thing that I think has been like men have been attracted to and then gotten into relationships with and then tried to like snuff out. And it's like, this is what you signed up for.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that stuck out to me as far as this situation specifically, of this thing of wanting to date someone. And once you are dating them, the reason you wanted to date them, make sure no one else can have it.
Well, he uses the term, these are my boundaries. That's not what those are.
That's
those
not
are
what a boundary
conditions.
Is.
Those are rules. Those are, that is horrible behavior. And I don't care that she posted them, because we wouldn't care if this woman was posting her text messages about the guy that no one knew. This kind of behavior needs to be known, and people need to be shown that this is who this person is. And if you are a person in this situation, how to relate, how to see the signs. And I mean, that's, I have no problem with people knowing it's him, because he's acting like a total jackwad.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, the whole celebrity side of it, because if it was just someone who was, if it was a nobody and they were just posting it, and I don't know, in the world of TikTok, I've certainly have seen people who are not celebrities have their relationship woes blow up, and everyone, you know, you invite. I mean, that's the whole point of like the segment from Reddit that we do every once in a while on Fridays, which is Am I the Sphincter, of people airing their dirty their dirty laundry. Granted, it's usually anonymously, to have people weigh in on. And so you do, you know, the topic of doing it as a, but it gets elevated obviously once you're a celebrity. But I, you know, I would, if you have a thoughts on this, like I said, I debated whether or not to talk about this, because I know online this is a very, very dominant conversation this
it's
week.
It's hot on the
it's
on the,
hot on the
social medias.
And lots of people have an opinion, but I wanted to weigh in just because, like I said, it's something that struck me reading it, regardless of the celebrity nature of it, of in relationships, when this weird thing happens of the thing that you were attracted to becomes a thing that you don't want to shine anymore. And I think it's for fear of it being taken away from you.
Or outshining you.
Or outshining you. And I don't know, because it's interesting, because she clearly was doing all of the stuff that he said, these are my boundaries, before they started dating. She's an influencer. She's a model. She's a surfer. Like, her job is basically to be in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Like, and from the last time I checked, not that I know a ton about surfing, pretty sure it's still a male-dominated sport. And so if you're going to be a professional or even a, you know, semi-pro surfer, you're going to be around a lot of men.
I want you to surf in a parka.
And I guess that's the thing. If he's like, these are my boundaries, it's like, all right, well, I guess we aren't going to be together. But then it layers in a whole bunch of dynamics about age and power, because he was definitely more famous and a lot older than her. But I don't know. If you have immediate thoughts on this, we'll keep it going through the next segment, but we got to take a break. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Iron Plow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 54 overnight, under mainly cloudy skies, north winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs level off around 78. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows around 62, partly cloudy skies. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the mid-80s to the upper 80s. Thunderstorms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach, and I'm guessing we didn't get any. No one cares about the Joan Hill conversation.
I guess not, but I will give an update on Mama Bach.
Okay.
I texted her and I said, without Googling, do you know who Jonah Hill is? And she said, the name sounds familiar, but no. Can I Google him now? I said, yes. And she Googled him and she said, no, explain. We're using you as a social experiment, Jackie Bach.
Isn't that? It's so funny, the expansive divide of pop culture now, of, you know, in trying to pick topics for this show, it certainly is, you know, gauging what people care about, what people want to hear about, why they come to this show, why they come to Civic Media. And this is what, you know, media companies, content creators in general are constantly trying to figure out. But it's like, because to try to find a relevant topic, because it is so, for me, this specific story of Jonah Hill and his ex-girlfriend and the text messages and stuff, like, I can't escape it.
Yeah.
When I'm on TikTok and Twitter and it's coming up.
Threads.
Threads now. And it's so it's coming up again and again and again and again. And then the amount of people who are like, who's Jonah Hill? Who is this person that has been, nominated for Oscars in multiple, like some of the biggest movies of the last 5 years? And that's fine. I mean, that's just kind of like how our culture is now. And I think how the the decentralization of celebrity and how someone can have millions of followers. And some people can be like, who? Who is that? Like, that's how I feel about Bad Bunny, who I get is probably a name that multiple people listening right now is like, who is this person? And I kind of am like, who is this person? But he is a Puerto Rican musician who is wildly popular. And I don't think I could name a single one of his songs. And I'll come across people on social media every once in a while who it's like, they have millions of followers, and I'm like, who is this person? But we're going to go to the phones quickly. Mark from the SAC, what say you?
Well, I think, you know, he's trying to control their life, and sometimes this is what happened. This kind of brought to mind something happened to me. This is over 40 years ago, now coming back from a bus from I was coming back from Superior, and she was coming back from a trip to the cities from Janesville. Back in the day, we were both roughly the same age, but we struck up a conversation on the bus. The bus picked her. We kind of met at Eau Claire, and kind of took a long time for the bus from Eau Claire to Madison back then, because you're going through all the little burgs and all that. But her boyfriend was pretty upset about it at the time, and because we had corresponded for a while. Then she had to stop doing it because he was so upset that she was exchanging letters with me. That Dan, I respected her boundaries and stop sending letters to her. But I mean that it's you have to have control of yourself and control of your, be confident in yourself, and then it shouldn't be a problem. But I'll kind of leave it at that, because it was just even in just a few hours' time, we kind of struck up a real friendship, and then her partner at the time decided he didn't like that at all. So and they're planning on getting married, and she wanted to respect that. But I mean, it just is that.
But you weren't romantically interested. You just wanted a friend.
Well, I didn't know how it could go there at the time. I mean, that it could have gone another way, but you never know. But he was pretty, I was willing to disrespect that as friendship, but he was, he must have been picking something up from her because she wanted to correspond with me.
Or maybe he's just too insecure to, quote unquote, allow her to have a friendship with someone he didn't know who was a man. Either way.
Yeah. Which that brings up a whole... Ooh. Thanks so much for the call, Mark.
Yep. You're welcome.
The overlapping but separate conversation of, like, can men and women be friends?
Yes.
And I've always maintained, absolutely, because I have always had male friends. I've always had male friends who are straight. And granted, some of them, I think, probably did want to date me, and it never happened. I'm guessing you've never wanted to date me, Greg.
No, but I've been really trying to get a Mike's game. This whole thing was a ruse for a while. Like, Samson, that tall drink of water, and he's to hugging.
But, and I absolutely think that you can be friends with the opposite sex and have it be platonic, and that it's there's lots of value to that. But there is a lot of people out there who absolutely think no.
Well, I think also you can also have a friend of... whatever your orientation is, you can have a friend that you can be attracted to, like, in a way that's like, it's like, I'm not going to try to ruin a relationship. Be like, this is my friend. They're cute. I date them, but I'm not going to, cause I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like it's all these things that go into it. It's like, I personally think I think that men and women can be friends. I don't think that's a problem, but, I think the people who don't just have to deal with their own problems. That was very deep, I must say. Sometimes I get very deep on the show. Sorry, my mother was texting me again. So,
any updates? Does she have thoughts on the Jonah Hill situation?
No, she has none.
Does none.
She has none.
Googled him. Probably all of the news hits of the last 24 hours are about this situation, and she's just like, no thoughts.
No, thank you. I'm going to go back to my war documentaries.
All right, when we come back, Connor Kaloya is going to be here. He is the chief operating officer of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. If you have questions about the team, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Try to turn the tide, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 56 overnight under cloudy skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 81. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 60. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. Mid-80s, Friday and Saturday, with storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board today. And I know you are especially excited about the next guest.
I'm so excited.
Because you are a big football fan.
I love the football. Football is life.
And we're very excited that a professional soccer team is coming to Milwaukee in 2025. So far, athlete name Milwaukee Pro Soccer, but that is going to change. And so we are so excited to have Connor Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer for Milwaukee Pro Soccer, here with us today. How you doing, Connor?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
So, Milwaukee Pro Soccer, how's it going? Yeah.
It's good. Everything's great. I think you were correct that Milwaukee Pro Soccer, we may need a more creative name than that. And so we're in that public process right now. And, you know, we're excited to bring professional soccer back to Milwaukee. We're excited to bring USL Championship. It'll be the highest level of pro soccer in the state. And we're working to do that in the spring of 2025.
And so I know Greg knows more about this, but as far as the hierarchy of American soccer and the different leagues, because I know there's Forward in Madison with the Flamingos. Obviously, the Wave is an indoor soccer team. I've seen them. And so what is kind of the landscape of professional soccer and what's available for people to watch, men and women's, in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, great question. So everything in soccer is through the U.S. Soccer Federation. So everything is sanctioned through the U.S. Soccer Federation. They actually have different tiers. Major League Soccer is the top tier. There's 28 on its way to, I think, 30 teams in Major League Soccer. USL Championship is in the second tier. That's where Milwaukee would fit. 24 teams in the league across the country, markets of a million plus. And then Forward Madison, they're in the third tier. 12 markets in that league across the country. That's markets of maybe 500,000 to a million people. So Milwaukee will be the highest level in the state. Markets of a million plus, playing against teams like Sacramento, Louisville, Indianapolis, Detroit, some good regional rivals, and truly a national league. And it's different than baseball. It's not, you know, minor league. In baseball, you go from A ball to double A to triple A on your way up. It's a little different in soccer. These are true professionals. This is what these guys do for a living. There's some players that might be 16, 17 years old on their way up. There's others that'll be 32, 33, and this is their career and what they've done for a long time, whether it be overseas or in Major League Soccer.
And so is that the same for the U.S. Soccer Federation that mirrors for women as well as far as the tier, the different leagues?
Yeah. That's a great question and something that we're engaged in as well. On the women's side, there's only one professional league in the U.S. currently. That's the NWSL. But the USL has announced the USL Super League, which will also be a first division women's league. That plans to start in the fall of 24 with eight teams. And Madison has announced to be kind of in the second wave of that. Madison Women's Pro Soccer, we would be joining that. We're working on some stadium renovations to allow that to happen. But Madison would be in the second wave of that. So it's a little different on the women's side than the men's side right now. But I would expect over the next 10 to 15 years, you will see that women's tier populate, that you'll have more than just a first tier for sure.
Absolutely. Our guest is Connor Kaloya, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. Greg, do you have a question?
Absolutely. Connor, what is the process of just like you look at Milwaukee and you say, yes, let's do it? Because I remember you made the announcement last year, wasn't it? Like late last year, or was it early this year?
Yeah, it was October 20th of last year. But Greg, I know that seems like a long time ago, but we've been on this for like over 5 years. Maybe 6 years. I don't even remember at this time, but we were working on Milwaukee actually before Forward Madison even played a game here in Madison.
Wow.
So Forward Madison started playing in April of 2019. So it's been a long process, and it's not as simple as just being like, hey, Milwaukee's cool. Let's bring a soccer team there. Unfortunately, I wish it was. For better or for worse, we looked at about 40 different sites across the city and in the suburbs. To have a pro soccer team, you really just need, you need three things. You need a franchise, you need a stadium, and you need people that'll come watch the game. We think Milwaukee's a great market for it, so we think we have the people. We've secured a franchise from the USL, and now we just have to get that stadium built in the Iron District. And so it took us a while to locate a site. We did locate that site and acquire the site, so we own that site, and development has started on the housing on that site, and eventually it'll be an 8,000 seat stadium, a 200 key hotel room, about 170 affordable or workforce housing units, and some retail, restaurant, and entertainment, all as part of a larger development in the Iron District.
Which is so exciting.
It's so exciting.
So one of the things you just said, Connor, that stuck out to me is one of the three things that you need is the people. And so what does the market research look like to prove, to justify and prove that there is a desire for this, that there's a calling for it?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I mean, we've done real research, but there's a lot of tangential pieces that just kind of speak to you as well. If you look across the U.S.,
you
looked at Twitter. We looked at the nearly 200,000 people that have voted on the name of the team, and we're like, hey, I think this will work. But no, there's a lot of – I mean, Milwaukee has such a rich soccer history. In the 1950s and 60s, it was one of the best soccer markets in the U.S., and it's kind of fallen off a little bit it did over the years, but it's still a great soccer market. The Barons were a supporters group that was formed in 2014 with the sole purpose of bringing pro soccer to Milwaukee. They had over 5,000 members, and there wasn't even a team. And they had 5,000 members that were part of this group to bring pro soccer. So hopefully, it will be about 11 years since they started that they'll accomplish that goal of bringing pro soccer to Milwaukee. But beyond that, if you look across the U.S., you look at major markets, Milwaukee's one of the largest markets without outdoor spectator professional mm-hmm. soccer. And there's not only is it a large market, but there is a really strong playing soccer population, but there's a really strong fan interest. I mean, you just look at the World Cup and the watch parties across the city. On some days there was more than 50,000 people out watching the U.S. men's team out in public. So we're totally convinced, and we've seen it since we've launched in October, the energy and excitement around it, that it'll be a great pro soccer market.
Absolutely.
So now that we're in 2023, we got a couple of years still, and you have the site, you've acquired it. What are the next steps? I know I've been very much part of the naming campaign.
He's voting a lot.
I vote. It's important to get out and vote. But
vote early, vote often. Exactly. Like Chicago.
At least in this one, we can do that. We can talk about it. We can brag about that. But you're spacing it out over the next 2 years or less than 2 years now, I guess, because you're going to be spring. Like, what are those steps? What are the things? Okay, you got the site, and then breaking ground, then naming, then kit design, and all those things. Like, how do you space that out over the next couple of years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, the next kind of wave of developments will be groundbreaking, and right around that time, you'll see an actual. The plan would be around that time to be rolling out an actual crest and logo and identity for the team. Mm-hmm. From there, we start building a full-time staff to have, staff on the ground and building, continuing to build the community excitement. And about 12 to 18 months out, we'll build a technical staff. So the soccer side of the staff, we'll start building out who's going to oversee and run that part of the team and start recruiting talent and building a fan base, building a team, and being ready to open, hopefully, in the spring of 25. So, we've got a roadmap of what we need to do between now and in April of 25. And, but the next big pieces later this year would be getting a shovel in the ground and rolling out the name of the team and then starting to build out the staff.
So speaking of the name of the team, we're down to the top 20. I'm trying to count quickly because I have them all in front of me right now.
I think there's 16 in front 16. Of you, and we're trying to whittle that down to 10. So we changed it up the last round. Rather than doing the bracket style, you could just tell us your top five, and then we're going to, we've got that top five. Well, we've taken the 16, and we've kind of got it down. We're looking at those top 10 names right now.
Trust me, Connor, I've told you my top five many times.
Thank you.
Do you have to do it? Can you do it daily, or how often can you vote, Greg?
You can vote as much as you want.
Can you? Is that true?
I think as I thought it might. We might have had it on daily, but
I don't vote five times a day.
You can vote frequently. I think it was daily that you had to do it. And there are some things you need to submit, so it's not like robo voting.
Yeah.
And so, is there any super delegates when it comes to voting for this team? are there people who work?
We had to get political with this, didn't we? We try not to be political at soccer.
But you know what I mean? Like, is there anyone on the marketing team that their vote weighs a little bit more?
Well, I think so. As a member of the ownership group, ultimately ownership will decide.
Yes.
But I do think one of the worst things that could happen in pro soccer is the owner can pick the team name, pick the colors, and pick the logo. Like that, this is truly the fans are guiding us. The fans are telling us what to do, and we got to listen to the fans. And we won't have any success as we launch this team if we don't listen to the fans. So the process has been amazingly enlightening. I think some of the names we thought we're going to be good. The people are telling us they're not so good. and I think some of the names that we didn't think were going to be good, the people are saying, hey, you should take another look at this. So there is not a superdelegate. There's not a veto power. To be clear, this is an advisory poll. It's not a, you know, whatever you pick, we're going with.
What?
But we didn't want it to be like Bodie McBoatface or some of those those names that were out there earlier that people that's why it's advisory. We have to, you know, put some guardrails on this thing.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we are seriously heavily leaning in to what the fan input is, and what we're going to do is we're going to take some of these names and actually start building out some identities.
Can you tell us any of the names that got submitted that didn't make it to the top 64? So we have.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you have like an after hours show, we can put some of those out there. I don't know that in the middle of the day it's the right time to be sharing some of those, but yeah, there were some that's like, hey, that's creative. Thanks, thanks for playing. But, we want kids to come to our games too, and we can't use that name.
Not a lot of that. Woke apparently. Okay.
Yeah, we are family friendly.
Family
friendly.
Well, I'm excited to see because then obviously from the name will come like the mascot. Because my favorite, I think this is one of your favorites too so far, is it was your favorite Goodland United.
Correct. That's my that's my running.
Which
one.
Is great.
I love that one.
But I also feel like that doesn't necessarily, like that makes it very open-ended for a mascot. Like what would a mascot for Goodland United be? Or Cream City? Or a lot of these like don't necessarily, I think Milwaukee Barons is maybe one.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Tall Boys is pretty obvious of what the mascot could be. But is there like, is that the next level of the marketing? Like once there's the name, is there going to be another round of voting for like, what is the mascot? Who is the mascot? What's his personality? Are we going to get it gritty?
Oh, we love votes. So yeah, we're going to keep voting on everything. No, but likely there could be a name, the mascot, something like that. I think the next step is to figure out 3 to 4, maybe 5 good buckets, start building out kind of what an identity would look like in soccer, your crest, which is on the chest of your jersey, that's where it all starts. And so the focus will, in short order here, will be on the crest. But yeah, I'm sure we'll have a mascot, you know, in Madison with our team in Madison Forward Madison, we are the team's named Forward Madison, but our icon is the flamingos. It's really challenging to own a live flamingo unless you're a zoo. So we couldn't own a live flamingo. So instead we have a couple dairy cows. So we have Leonella Bessie and Rose Cowbell, which were both named via fan votes.
Oh, that's fun.
Soccer appropriate cow names. And I think there's probably more voting down the line once we figure out an identity.
Well, we love it. I'm so excited. I'm kind of a soccer noob, but every 4 years.
Oh, we're going.
I know. We're going. Greg's excited.
Great.
So check out MilwaukeeProSoccer.com for all the information on where to find them on social media. Get your vote in for naming the club. Follow along as everything progresses. And Connor, we'll have to have you back as the mascot comes out, as recruiting the rest of the team comes out, because we are very excited.
We appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking more as the process rolls out.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Connor. All right. Have a great day, Connor.
Bye.
Thanks,
guys. All right.
Guys.
We're going to take one more break and come back and talk about the Laughing Tap is back from a break, right?
Heck yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government
is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 78 today under mainly cloudy skies. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Partly cloudy skies. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 86. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Come laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? Ah, ah. My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. You could study Shakespeare and be quite elite. And you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. That was really fun.
It was a lot of fun. Connor was great.
Connor was great.
Let's keep having him on like every 2 weeks until at least we're like, you know what? Thanks for helping. Here's some tickets. I don't know.
I'm sure he doesn't have other things to do managing multiple.
They don't even have a name yet. What are they doing?
Yeah, I know. But yes, I agree with you that Goodland United is.
It just sounds great.
It also, yeah.
But here's the funny thing, though. United, I looked this up. United tends to apply to a group that two clubs join. But that's fine.
That's fine.
But we're united in the good land.
So this is what, I didn't want to read it off with our limited time with him, but this is what's left for anyone who wants to go vote. And you can go still vote at MilwaukeeProSoccer.com/name the club. So it's Milwaukee Hogs, Milwaukee Tall Boys, Milwaukee Barons, 1846 Milwaukee, Fresh Coast, I don't really like that one. Old Milwaukee, Lake Effect, Cream City, Milwaukee Industrial, 414, just Milwaukee, Milwaukee Iron, Goodland United, Milwaukee Foundry, yeah. Brew City, Milwaukee Brigade. What are your other ones that you like?
I liked, I didn't mind Foundry. I liked MKE. Was it?
I don't think that's left.
Oh, it's, oh. Goodland United is the only one I care about. Like, I vote, and then the ones that are just, I think I voted for Tall Boys once, but I don't like the beer reference personally. It's just, for me, I like the Goodland United. It sounds cool. I can already think
sounds
of
sounds like a soccer team.
Yes, I can think of a kit. I can think of songs, chants, the whole thing. It's inspiring, Kristen Bry.
All right, well, not that you're refreshed because you have like three jobs, but Laughing Tap has been on a break. And this weekend, you guys are back.
We're back, baby.
Does that mean you also have an open mic tonight?
Correct. We have an open mic this evening. And we're supposed to be having a show at Central, but if it's rain, it might get rained out. So we'll just say this right now. The open mic is happening tonight. That starts at 7:30. If you want to perform, come sign up at 7 o'clock. But we have a show this weekend, two shows. Chris Higgins headlining Friday and Saturday at the Laughing Tap. Very, very funny man. He's been featured on Vice, been featured, I believe, on Comedy Central. Very funny, very nice guy. He says it in his comedy. He's like, he looks like a golden retriever that became a real boy. He's just a big, big huggable dude. And I got a clip here for y'all to listen to. Take a listen. I think you'll enjoy him, and he'll make a lot of sense after this.
I did dabs today. This is hard for me right now. Right? You guys ever done a dab before? Not like the dance, like hash. Yeah, have you guys done that? No? All right, the people who said yeah have weed on them. Those are just the rules. I don't make them up. You got to be enthusiastic about weed if you're doing a dab. Like, it's the scariest way to get high. Like, for those of you who don't know what a dab is, it's like a hash. It's a concentrated form of marijuana. And what you do is you take out a blowtorch and you you weld it directly to your brain. Like, it is terrifying. Like, I was like, I got a show later. I want to get high. My friend was like, do you want to get industrially high? Like, afterwards, we'll make some swords. We have everything here. Like, I didn't think weed was a gateway drug, and then I did a dab, and I was like, no, yeah, we're going somewhere here. I'm about to become a blanket. Like, this is, you've melted me. I'm boneless. Like, this is heroin. Like, we turned weed, and maybe don't legalize it. We've gone too far.
So that's just an idea of Chris right there. He's just such a nice guy, so funny, and just very cool.
Do you ever book people who are not nice people?
Oh, all the time.
Oh really?
No. Honestly, we talk about that a lot at the club, and we talk about that with headliners. In the nearly, we're going on 4 years old towards the end of the year.
Wow.
We have never had anyone who's just like kind of like busted through the door like, this is me, and get me my stuff, and
give
I don't
my
care.
Green M&Ms.
Yeah,
pick out all of them from the rest of the bag.
We have people with varying personality types. Some people are really outgoing and want to have fun with you. Some people are like, hey, they show up, they do their gig, and then they go back to the hotel, which is totally fine. I have no problem with that. But everyone who walks through the door is always professional. They're fun. They're kind. And it's never a problem. And we're very lucky to have that come through the door every time. So if you want to get tickets to see Chris, laughingtap.com for all your ticket needs. The tickets are available. Like I said, one show Friday, one show Saturday, and the tickets this month are for all shows are $15 at the Laughing Tap.
Oh,
yeah.
Why the discount?
Some are special, you know.
All right.
That also includes the Barron's Brothers shows if those tickets were available.
Has the next one gone on sale yet?
No, it won't go on sale until this one has happened, which is end of this month.
So end of this month. So this, the last Thursday, is it the third or fourth Thursday of the month?
This month is going to be the fourth Thursday of the month.
So fourth Thursday of the month. So basically once, so check in early August.
Correct.
For the August show.
Correct.
If you want to see the Barron's Brothers
comedy
show.
Yep.
Comedy show.
Yep.
Comedy special.
It's called the Barron's Brothers Comedy Hour.
Comedy Hour. Yeah. Thank you.
And so, yeah. But yeah, Chris is this weekend. And then next week, folks, guess what? Chastity Washington is headlining. I'll talk more about her next week. But I will be featuring.
Ooh.
I'll be performing. Ooh. And it'll be fun. And we're going to have a good time. Chastity is one of the funniest people on earth. Kindest people on earth. Just released a comedy special on Prime Video. So, oh, by the way, happy Prime Day.
Have you bought anything?
No. I looked at electronic drum sets, but nothing serious.
In the 2 minutes that we have left, I almost started the show like this, but then it felt like it was not that important. But who steals a plant?
Oh, yeah.
My mom planted, this is how I'm going to end the show. My mom, who was adorable, gave us this plant that had poinsettias, not poinsettias, I don't know, there was a flower in it. But she also put this little cute sign in it that said baby in bloom. And it sat on our porch, literally right outside our front door. And I was doing such a good job watering it every day. And I came outside this morning and Mike was watering and he goes, did you move that plant? And I go, no. And so someone just took it. Who steals a plant? Who steals a heavy potted plant in the middle of the night? And he was like, it was probably just dumb kids, which made my mom feel even worse. She's like, I'd like to think that someone who was looking for a gift for their mom is someone who
stole Debbie Bry.
And they couldn't afford something else. But now that is what we will have to buy on Prime Day is like a Ring camera. In case maybe we just won't replace the plant.
I thought you were going to say another plant. You're like, no, there will be surveillance in the Bry household.
It's just like, who steals a plant? It was so upsetting. I was already irritable this morning. And that just really put me in a bad mood. So I hope it's not smashed somewhere in the middle of our neighborhood. But so yes, that's what we will be spending our money on for Prime Day is a ring camera. All right. Well, not to end it on downer, but don't steal plants. All right.
And come to the Laughing Tap.
And come to the Laughing Tap. And come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we're going to do the show all over again. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's
WFHR
Association.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial.